If you want God to relieve your pain when you're going through your issues, you better stop skipping opportunity that God provides you to show mercy.
Dr. Tony Evans says the measure of mercy we receive has to do with how much we give. And when we do,
God loves to give mercy when he gets the opportunity to do so.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When the sin in our lives has us backed against the wall, we don't need sympathy or understanding, we need mercy. Today, Dr. Evans takes us to Matthew chapter 5 to explain how we can find it.
The Bible says that God saves us because of his mercy. Titus 3:5. Ephesians 2:4 says God is rich in mercy. In other words, God is rich in relieving people, removing or reducing the weight of distress, discouragement, brokenness and misery, pain and problems that come our way. Mercy, in fact, is God's reaction to our misery. Mercy is more than feeling sorry for somebody, because you can feel sorry for somebody and not do anything. You can just feel bad about their situation. Feeling sorry has its place, but mercy is what feeling sorry produced. It always involves an action to reduce, relieve, or remove the misery that has come. Perhaps three words, if we put them together, will create a distinction. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. That's different from justice, which is getting what we do deserve, which is different from mercy, which is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. When the prodigal son recognized that he had sinned, and he said, I'm going back to my father, and I'm going to tell him, I have sinned. Guess what he found? He found mercy. He found mercy when he was willing to face sin, which freed God up to relieve, remove, or reduce the consequences. Now, why do I say relieve, remove, or reduce? Because it's God who decides what's going to happen. You don't get to decide what the mercy is going to look like. You can request it, but you can't demand it. You can only request for as much mercy as he'll give you. But you should request it because he's rich in it. He's rich in mercy. And the reason he's rich in mercy, as the Bible says, is because he loves you. He's rich in mercy, and he decides who gets what based on his own sovereign plan. When you are against the wind blows and holds you, pushes you back. When you reverse your direction, that same wind that was against you is now for you because you've changed directions. Now, there's a second reason for the misery that needs mercy, and that's circumstances. These are things that are out of your control. It's a person born blind. It's cut back on the job, and they give you a pink slip. It wasn't because you weren't doing your job. It was just a cutback, and so now you're in financial straits, and maybe your family's in my financial straits, and so you're now miserable because of circumstances. You're miserable because of situations, and you need something to intervene and lift the burden of the misery of situations that you couldn't control. He says, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who sympathize with the pain of others and seeks to relieve, remove, or reduce it. If you want to be blessed, he says, learn to be merciful. We live in a Me, myself, and our world, dog-eat-dog world. You get yours, I get mine. That's not mercy. That's me. Mercy says, I am going to seek to relieve, reduce, or remove the burden of weight that is on those to whom I can provide it. Now, you can't be merciful to everybody. Your capacity couldn't do that. But you can be merciful to somebody. You can't relieve everybody's problem. You can't relieve everybody's pain. But you can relieve somebody's problem. You can reduce somebody's pain. We use this excuse, because I can't help everybody, we help nobody. He says, blessed are the merciful. My son Anthony was sharing the other day, I just heard the story for the first time. He supports some kids through World Vision in Africa, and he went over to Africa 2 weeks ago to visit the kid he supports. They've never seen each other. He supports him $35 a month, and that provides this kid food and clothes. And so he wanted to see the kid he supports. So he flies 24 hours to Africa. He gets in a car, drives 4 hours into the interior, into this village. There he meets the World Vision person who's going to introduce him to the child he's been supporting for a number of years for the first time. They've just been writing and sending pictures. They call for the young boy. The young boy's name is Forget. That's his name. That's what he's known by. Forget. Because he's named to remind him to forget his pain. So they've named him Forget. The village has been ravaged by AIDS. They call Forget, Forget! He says, out from behind this tree, looks this little African boy. The person said, this is Anthony. And the little boy runs out, my son runs out, so they hug and have a very emotional moment. And my son starts playing soccer with him. And so they're, you know, they're spending the day together. Well, a lot of the parents are not living, but Forget's father was living. And my son asked him, what is your dream? Forget's father said, my dream is to have a new house for my family with a roof that's not made of grass so that when it rains, the water won't come in my house. So Anthony says that, how much will this cost, a new house with a real roof? He says, $300. At that point, Andy said, I didn't feel sorry for him anymore. He said, I felt sorry for me because I had on more than $300 worth of clothes. This man wants a house with a solid roof. Now, this is a parenthesis. This is a whole nother sermon, but when you hear stories like that, that affects your complaining. All of a sudden, things aren't that bad. $300. So he tells the World Vision guy, I'm going to send $300 so they can get a new house. He could have said, I'm going to pray for you. He could have said, I feel sorry for you. He could have said, He could have said, God is able. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's so high you can't get over. He's so low you can't get under. He's so wide you can't get around him. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright morning star. He's the balm in Gilead. He could have gone theological on it. But that man didn't need theology, Bible study, or prayer meeting. He needed a house with a solid roof on it. It wasn't until my son put up the $300 that mercy had been delivered. Everything else was talk. In the story of the Good Samaritan, it says the preacher passed by, the priest. He's probably reading his Bible and praying, preparing his sermon. It says the lawyer passed by, the Levite passed by. He says, but the good Samaritan, that's a person of another race. That's a person of another race. That was a hated race by the Jews. Jesus was telling this Jewish person, he says, your neighbor is not necessarily the person who looks like you. Your neighbor is not necessarily the person who talks like you. Your neighbor is not just the person who raps like you. He says the neighbor is the person who addresses the need. He says the good Samaritan, number one, stopped. The first thing he did was stop. That means his schedule got interrupted. The second thing he did was got dirty, because the Bible says the man was bleeding all over and he had to bandage his wound. So he had to get himself dirty in order to fix this problem. The third thing he did was inconvenience himself, because he got off his donkey with a leather saddle. So therefore he had to leave his leather-plated ride and share his ride with somebody else while he walked. So that meant inconvenience. Then he reached into his pocket when he took him to the innkeeper and said, this is to get him help from the hospital. And if this is not enough, keep the bill and I will pay you when I come back. Jesus then looked at the man asking him the question and said, now tell me who the neighbor was. Was it the man of the same race? Was it the man of the cloth? Was it the man? Or was it this person who nobody would have accepted, who got dirty and addressed the need? See, mercy is compassion in action, not talk in a Bible class. Mercy is action. Blessed are the merciful. Well, the question is, what's the blessing? He tells you, for they shall receive mercy. Ooh, this is deep. In other words, you get what you give. See, a lot of folk don't give mercy because they don't need it right now. Okay, I'm okay right now. Life is going well right now. I'm not having right problems now. So I don't have time to be merciful. But there is coming a day. Your day with your number on it. See, usually insensitive people haven't been through nothing. Yeah, because it's coming. There is coming a day when you're going to need God to relieve, reduce, or remove your pain. Either because of a mistake you made that you thought you would never make, or a situation in your life that is weighing you down, and you're going to need God to reach down and lift some of that weight off of you. Guess what God's going to do when you call on him for mercy? He's going to check your mercy record. Because blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Or let me reverse it. Cursed are the merciless, because they ain't getting nothing. If you want God to relieve your pain when you're going through your issues, you better stop skipping opportunities that God provides you to show mercy, because what goes around comes around.
Dr. Evans will have an example of that principle in action when he continues our message in just a moment. Don't go away.
Whether you're facing a decision or a dilemma, it's smart to ask, what would Jesus do? But first you have to know what Jesus did and what God has to say about the situations you face. Well, if building your biblical foundation is your goal, the help you need is as close as your computer or mobile device, thanks to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's packed with online courses covering core concepts of the faith and in-depth scripture studies you can work through any time you want, at any pace you want. Along the way, you'll explore key teachings and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Tony to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. It's almost like having a seminary on your smartphone. Visit TonyEvans.org today and connect with the Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
You can find out more about the Tony Evans Training Center when you visit our website at TonyEvans.org.
And while you're there, be sure to request Tony's brand new book, Kingdom Values. In it, he explains why the only antidote to the cultural craziness going on around us is to build a healthy, Christ-centered character inside us. You'll discover a blueprint for personal growth that'll not only change the way you live, but influence the people around you as well. If you contact us right away, we'll send you a copy of Kingdom Values as our way of saying thanks when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, we'll include all 8 messages in his powerful teaching series, Returning to the Truth. This special offer is only available for a short time, so don't wait. Make your request online when you visit tonyevans.org or reach out to our Resource Center any time of the day or night at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat our contact information for you after Tony brings us the conclusion of today's lesson. Let's join him.
Sometime on the phone, you call a company, they'll say something like, this call may be monitored for quality assurance. That means somebody may be listening to see whether customer service is up to snuff. This call is being monitored. God's saying, your mercy is being monitored for quality. So that when you need the same service, we're going to check how you gave service. Mercy. You can't help everybody. You can't relieve everybody. But God will give you plenty of opportunities to relieve somebody. That's your neighbor, the one who you come along to remove, reduce, or relieve. If sin is involved, then you don't skip the sin because you can't provide the mercy, because that is encouraging irresponsibility. And that is encouraging just more consequences when you finish helping out. You don't keep paying bills for people who keep spending irresponsibly. You don't keep helping them. You don't keep bailing them out. You don't keep doing that. You don't show them mercy, because that kind of mercy is really helping them to become more irresponsible. If they're not willing to change their spending habits, you're not willing to keep them giving them loans and gifts, because that's an irresponsible use of mercy. So if people are not willing to deal with lifestyle, you don't keep bailing them out because they don't really want the issue addressed that's caused the problem in the first place. The book of Nehemiah is interesting. Nehemiah is doing a lot of good. He's rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, which means rebuilding the whole city. And during the way, he's doing a lot of good stuff. He's helping folk. People were being treated unjustly. He would come and bring justice, and, you know, he would feed people and clothe people, and he would defend property. And Nehemiah was always doing some good stuff to help folk. But all through the book, you'll find a phrase. It's a phrase you could pass over so quickly, but the phrase is deep. Guess what Nehemiah says all through the book? Whenever he does something to help somebody, he then looks up to heaven and says, remember me for good. Remember me, talking to God, remember me for good. I fed some folk today, remember me for good. In other words, God, write this down. So when my day comes and I'm going to need somebody to help me, I want you to check my mercy record and see I did all this good for them. Now boomerang it back to me. That's what the Bible means when it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Because when you give, you set up yourself to receive. James chapter 2, verse 13. For judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let me read that to you again. It says, for judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Whoa, this is deep. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, there was a man who owed the king hundreds of thousands of dollars. He said, have mercy on me, O king, I can't pay you. The king felt sorry for him. The king had mercy on him and removed the debt. Didn't reduce it. He removed the debt of hundreds of thousands of dollars. The man is shouting. He praising God. He getting his praise on. You know, shout to the Lord. For, you know, he was getting into it. He's a happy camper. He goes down the street and runs into one of his homeboys who owes him a couple hundred dollars. Now, he owed the king a couple hundred thousand dollars. He runs into one of his boys who owes him a couple hundred dollars and goes off on him. Where's my money? How come you haven't given me my money yet? How come you, and then gets him thrown in prison. They had debtor's prison. Gets him thrown in prison. Till you pay me my money back, you going to jail. It says the king heard about what the man did and got evangelically ticked off. He got ticked off. So the king reinstated the debt on the man who refused to give the mercy that he received. Why? Because judgment will be merciless to the one who showed no mercy. If your life is so full of you that when given opportunities to reduce, relieve in a responsible way, or remove the misery of somebody else, you skip over everybody else because you're only concerned about you, then when your day comes and you cry out for mercy, there will be none to give you because you will have stored up none. But the last line says, but mercy overcomes judgment. Whoa, you done messed up. You done blown it royally, and judgment's coming your way. You do judgment, you deserve judgment, you qualify for judgment, and judgment's heading your way. And you go before God and you say, God, do not give me what I deserve. That's called mercy. Do not give me what I deserve. I know I deserve justice. I know I deserve judgment, but I need mercy. He says, mercy overcomes judgment. So on that day when you deserve judgment, when you ought to have judgment, because you were merciful, you positioned yourself to not get everything that you deserve. Now, you don't know how much he's going to give you and how much he's not going to give you. That's God's determination. But at least you positioned yourself because God loves to give mercy when he gets the opportunity to do so. Mercy is a powerful thing because you're joining the heart of God in helping others, which frees God's heart to help you. At the judgment seat of Christ, see, mercy overcomes judgment. At the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged for our words and our deeds in terms of reward, not in terms of salvation, but in terms of reward, counterbalanced by all the acts of mercy. He said, I just read it to you, mercy overrules judgment. So you actually can reposition yourself for the judgment seat of Christ through your acts of mercy. So some of us, we need to get busy with mercy right now as much as we can. A little boy one day came to his mother. He said, Mama, give me a peanut butter sandwich. Mother made him a peanut butter sandwich, but then he looked at it and he smiled. He said, Mama, I asked you for a peanut butter sandwich and you put jelly on it too. You know what mercy is? Mercy is when not only God gives you what you ask for, but he sprinkles a little jam on it too. He gives you more than you deserve.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about how we can give God that opportunity to show us the mercy we need. If you'd like to have a copy of today's message to review on your own or pass along to a friend, just visit tonyevans.org for details on the title, Blessed Are the Merciful. And while you're there, don't forget to take advantage of our current special offer. For a limited time, you can receive, as our gift, all 8 messages in Tony's powerful teaching series, Returning to the Truth, along with his newest book, Kingdom Values, all in appreciation for your contribution to help us keep this program coming your way. Just visit us online at tonyevans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements. It's open around the clock. That's 1-800-800-3222. The old saying goes, two heads are better than one. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain that there's a danger when we're double-minded. Be sure to join us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.